The Ramban in Dini Vayikra cites a famous Rambam, the Mor Neruchim. It's a Rambam which is, he wrote it in his Guide for the Perplexed. It's a rather perplexing Rambam. And all the Rishonim literally jump on the Rambam, literally, Kimat en masse, I would say Pe'echon. Kimat, no one agrees with the Rambam in his position regarding Korbanos. I'll read the paragraph where the Rambam expresses himself. Rambam cites it. It's the underlying section number one. V'nei b'kosu b'zeh tam ha-korbanos. The Torah has presented the rationale from the korbanos. She'en ishe reach tichorach l'shem. That's what the Rambam writes. That seems to be classic. V'omah harav b'mor nebuchim. Says the Rambam, kitam ha-korbanos b'abusha mitzriyim b'akazdim. The Egyptians and the Chaldeans, we lived in their territory, their countries. Well known that they were idolaters. They worshipped the cattle. The Egyptians worshipped the sheep. India, the Indians. Thank you. Lo yishchatu bokol the olam. We know the Indians, they venerate bokor, cattle. Ubavur kein sivol yishchat hashoshim mid. And therefore, the Torah dafka underscores these three species. L'shem hanichbar, we should worship. We should, in effect, direct these three to Hashem. Kedei shivada ba'adam shayichoshim kein betachlis avera hu asher giru laborim. Essentially, what the Rambam says. And he ends at the last three sentences. When we discover our bonus, through Kabbalah, we can receive expiation for our sins. So essentially, the Rambam's position is that the Torah has enjoined us from simulating the customs of idolaters. And especially, by the way, this you see in Sefer Dvarim more than perhaps any other Sefer. Because in Sefer Dvarim, you have a lot of Isurim, the Rambam, the Mor Neruchim, connects all of them to Avodah Zarah. Let's start with Vayikra, this week's Parshim. Ki chol se'or v'chol dvash lo satir menu ishal Hashem. Where does that come from? Eating se'or, which is a leavening agent, or dvash or honey, to the carbon mincha. The Rambam contends that that is essentially founded upon idolatrous practices. But for that matter, not to set up a single stone, that's a matzeva for offering sacrifice, that's a pasha shoftim. So the Rambam continues on this bang, that's what the Rambam he quotes, the entire concept of Kabbalah is undergirded by the same superstructure. Since the non-Jewish nations are wallowing in animal worship, the Egyptians deified the sheep, the Chaldeans worship demons, so the Torah wants to wean us away from these pagan ideas, conceptions, introduces a doctrine of sacrifices. It's a kind of, since we have here a psychiatrist, two of them, sublimation, a kind of sublimation in psychological terms. That's what's happening over here. There's the same energies that were aimed at idolatry, says the Rambam, will now be redirected to Hashem Yisbarach. More or less at the precis of what the Ramban writes in here. This comes to Ramban, very strong language. Number two, Divrei Havai. Divrei Havai means not that he just doesn't agree with the Rambam, but essentially contends that they are absolutely words that are without foundation. I'll tell you in a moment what disturbs him. I mean, the Torah is devoting enormous energies to essentially negating a spurious concept. They have a misconception, and in order that we should correct that misconception, therefore we devote an entire sefer, more than one sefer, a good segment of our Torah Shabbat Pes devoted to Kabbalos. Amazing. For what purpose? Because the Torah sees the enterprise of Kabbalos as being something, according to the Rambam, which is designed to wean the people away from Avodah Zarah, and then we devote all this energy to Kabbalos. The Rambam is flabbergasted. Now there's he, every Rishon. And they write, how's it possible, Shein HaRak La'otzi, the Nibim Shol Rishon, the Tip She'olah? We want to simply correct something, an idea which is misguided, And then when we devote so much time and energy to that, maybe psychiatrists do that. It's possible. Probably spend all your days doing that. May very well be. I don't know. I'm not in that field. Okay, perhaps later you'll comment. But the problem is the Torah presents it in an affirmative, positive kind of way. Lechem isha l'reach nichoach. Begam ki lefi shtusim shel mitzvayim, according to their silliness, lo tisvav b'machlosim b'zeh. That's not going to resolve the issue. I will tell you, Machlo, ki machsheres harashoyim and misgoyim, their misguided notion of worshiping sheep and the like, because they contend, obviously, there is energy, if I can use that terminology, that's embedded in these animals. Therefore, they're not going to touch them. They're sacrosanct. He quotes a pasuk which seems to be the makor. That's in my Rebbe, Mr. Malbus, that's how he told me. Probably 55, 60 years ago, he told me this is the makor for the Rabbah, this pasuk, which Rabbah cites. Don't sacrifice to those Seirim, to those demons. That's for those who worship the ego, they're doing something of a similar nature. But Rabbah Maskir and the Rabbah mentioned they used to worship the moon, the Chorashi Chachayim, Balashemesh, Balos, Mazol, Sayyiduna, Misiprayim, Yosi Tisrapi, Amachlo, Bachinim, El Masoba, etc., etc., Yasuchim, Olam. And then he brings in three and four further riots against the position of the Rabbah. These are very strong riots quoted by all Rishonim. If the Rabbah is correct, and the whole idea of Karbanos is to wean the people away from Abu Zara. So now the question is, why do we have the idea of Karbanos way before Abu Zara was introduced into the world, the days of Noah, as he writes in number three? Ein ba'olam mitzvim mokazdim. Yet Noah, he could karban, ba'ita ben Hashem. And then he goes further, Hevel, hevi gamu b'chor asam mechalveim. Ebulahoy adayim ba'olam shemetz Abu Zara klal. And Bilam, he goes further. Shiva Samitros or Rafti Bill wanted to simulate the Obos. His interest is not to wean the people away, says the Rabban. So clearly he rejects the Rambam categorically. And he writes in the middle of paragraph three, I put a box around it. I will also came the idea of the Korban, Kim Kishiovlov, Hadibor, Hashem. So let's use to present it in the following fashion that in Hashem's overwhelming kindness and chesed, he devised a system of what he called the Rab. Substitution by Alele Olam Tachzbenu, simply what you find by Yitzhak Abino, the sacrifice of an animal and its service are in lieu of that which should have been realized in the physical body of the individual that transgressed. And that's the Ramban writes in the next paragraph. He has three segments that are considerably significant. Machshava, Dibra, and Maisa, I can't discuss that now. That needs a separate discussion. But essentially, every human being has a Kedusha. And every human being has essentially a role, and his role is to be a custodian of an invaluable trust, which is our bodies. A body is a become different. Rishonim express this idea in different ways, but the Rabban, more or less, that's what he writes here in item number four, means any deviation from the divine course constitutes a traitorous act of gezel, of thievery. The Rabbi used to interpret the two parshas in the Ilah, two paragraphs in the Ilah. And Tredinim, that's a very well-known brisk dialectic over there, and that's for another occasion, but more or less two barriers. One essentially underscores the nihilism of man, man's lack of worth, lack of axiological worth, and the next paragraph heightens and accentuates the incredible heights that a man could achieve. So you have Tredinim that are in the, that's a favorite topic of Rabban goes on to say that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sensitive to our human frailties, frailty, thy name is human. I changed the nusach of the bar. Anyway, but no one knows the nusach anyway, so it doesn't make sense. Essentially, what Hashem has done is Hashem has actually designed an integrated enterprise of Karbanos designed to address our human needs. Because essentially, he writes to Rabban, the moment the person deviates, that limb, which is created for a purpose, loses its chuskiyah. So now, in lieu of that, so what does Hashem give us the opportunity to be a korban? And the korban serves as expiation. That's what he writes over here. Then at the end, the last two lines, Ve'elu dvarim, miskablim, and mashkim, alei, k'nivya, godim. Rabban likes his explanation very much. It's not just the Ramban. It's kimat every single Rishon that operates with the Ramban's premise. Now, one day I will devote myself, Bli Neder, to a shir to discuss the Rambam, but that's not my interest this evening. The Rambam, Baruch Hashem, was quite capable of defending himself also. Even though Rishon had difficulty, if you look in good ways of Mor Debuchim, half of Mor Debuchim essentially is based on the Rambam's rationale of mitzvahs, which essentially is undergirded by the Avodah Zarah that was so unfortunately and not just prevalent, it was essentially entire societies that were wallowing in Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam sees many of the mitzvahs of Chumash and Bavit relating to Avodah Zarah, and that needs a separate discussion. But whatever the case is, the point is that we have to constantly, in our personalities, namely as he writes over here, Machshava and Dibra and Maisa, these three areas, we have to try our best to somehow connect with Hashem. Now, there's a beginning of Vayikra, the pasuk on top of the page. Our Soleil used to be Medaik in these pasuk, Vayikra and Moshe. When a man brings an offering, miken. They translate that. Chazal, what to say? But miken, let's say, translate among you. Bring an offering, a carbon, min abeimah, min abakim, min atzon. Takiv is called after. This is a medrash that the Rabbi used to quote. Medrash directly below. Rabbi Shura, this gave a shem, Levi Omar, afaksum in chol kubli Yisrael. It's even the Tanakh shows honor to Klal Yisrael. How do you see that? Mimad the same, Adam kiyak miken. Is what did the pasuk say when it speaks about the korban? It speaks about when a man among you brings an offering, in contradistinction to Abu Shubala Dabi B'Dabi Shabinai, when it speaks pejoratively, namely in the context of the goyim. What does it say there? Adam miken kiyah bar besaro enksiv kar ela kiyah bar besaro. There it says a person has in his flesh all types of the goyim. So Asalechi thought that the medrash, when it contrasts the word miken, written by a korban, to the word Adam kiyeh ba'or b'sara on his flesh, is essentially telling us a very significant idea, a deeper, more profound kind of meaning. When the Torah speaks about bringing a korban, it speaks miken, from your essence. However, in the context of a skin affliction, the Torah doesn't use the term miken. Why? Because the religious devotion of a Jew emanates from an inner heartfelt drive that reflects his fundamental nature. Any transgression, any aveva he does is only a function of external whims. It's only subcutaneous. It doesn't go beyond that. Hashem came, the idea of a korban, which reflects the inner kavana of a Jew, in effect, that is embedded in the language of Adam Kiyakim, became korban Hashem, as opposed to any transgression, which is embedded in the pasuk that the Medrash quotes, Adam Kiyah Ba'or B'Saro, says, Sapachas of Iris. And the Rav used to refer to a Rambam. I've already mentioned this already a few times, that the only time I heard the Rav sing in Shir, I heard Shir from him for approximately 13 years, was the Rambam, and it was Gershon, that based on the Tom, I compared it, the Rav compared it, to a drain service, when a person has drains that are blocked, what he called, which the term they use, because the Rambam compares it to a spiritual issue, namely spiritual etherosclerosis, spiritual heart yugiosis, as opposed to, you're not familiar with it, Rabbi Yehuda. You didn't grow up in the United States. Ashrecha, Ashrecha, the Mazalcha, to your wondrous Mazal. So, you call in Rabbi Yehuda. And the advertising generally has a picture. I think everyone here probably knows it. Someone told me, Ad Hayom Hazeh, in the Tafkidim, till this very day, they're still operating. Rota Ruta. I probably could use them here on many, many occasions. Whatever the case is, the jingle is the following, and the Rav sang it. And with this jingle, he used actually this Rambam in Perek Beis, it was Gershon HaChatov, and Mishnah Yed, Perek HaMegarish in Gid, that speaks about also in Baal Basra, talks about compelling a person to give a get to his wife under, obviously, circumstances that warrant that. So essentially here we have pipes that are occluded, that are blocked, a lot of what they call this demot, and then comes in Rabbi Ruta with the high pressurized water, what have you, and a very go trouble down the drain of the Ruta. I remember the nigga. And I saw this, he sang it in Shia. He said, that's Tram this Ramah. Ram here at the bottom. Being the Ramah, be probably the I didn't know saying, the Jewish law mandates, so the garish is ishto, so the garish. They demand that a husband divorce his wife. He refused to do so. They're allowed to go ahead and apply lashes till he agrees to write again. But who get kosher? So the question is, how is it kosher? It should be invalidated because it was written out of coercion. What happened to Bechira Chavshis, the most fundamental doctrine in Hilchos Tshuva? So you don't say someone is under an ones, and the Mishnah Nilchatz and Nitzchak Nasa Dover, Shein Bechira, that's all that's also. Someone who was forced to do something the Torah doesn't obligate me to do, that's called an ones, then I'm not going to do the coercion. Mishnah Tekafo Yitzvah Hara, the Batal Mitzvah, someone whose evil inclination compelled him to repudiate a mitzvah, Allah Saber to do a transgression. The hukah, then we have to go ahead and give him lashes till he does as he's obligated to do. Or he stops doing the forbidden act. That's not called ones, not called acting in coercion, but rather, who on Torah, he engaged in self coercion. He's the one responsible. Therefore, the person doesn't want to give a get, and how lucky he's mandated to do so. Does he want to be a good Jew? Of course he does. Every Jew wants to be a good Jew. But the Yetzer gets in the way, so we have to bring in the Roto-Rooter, and before you know it, everything is sparkling, everything is wonderful. And that's what we do. The soul of a Jew always wants to carry out the mitzvah of Hashem. It's only the Yetzer that overcomes me and compels me to sin or to fail to carry out the mitzvah, and then I'm called acting under the rest. I'm not called in those circumstances acting in my own free will. And when I'm free, of course, it requires force and coercion. I'm free from the pull of the Yetzer Hara, then he acts as a free being once again. That's what Asalesi also interpreted the Makos in the context of the parable of Mitzrayim, based on this Rambam in Perek Basil's Gershal Rachav. So basically, going back to the Medrash on top, the Medrash number, item number two on this page, where the Jew offers the Karbam or fulfills mitzvahs, lives a life of Kedusha, according to the Fichuki HaTorah, that's called Miken. That's from his essence, that's from the depth of his personality. And as the Torah, that's what the Medrash says, the Torah shows honor to Klal Yisrael by pointing out that the good deeds that we do emanate from our inner persona. And that's the Lashon of the Pasuk, Adam Ki Yakov Mikem Karvel Hashem, the language of Mikem Karvel Hashem, and is where a Jew essentially carries out a mitzvah. That mitzvah coming from the depths of his neshama. That's what motivates him. Hashem Ken, when a Jew does an Aveira, as in the Medrash writes, that is subcutaneous. Adam Kieva or Besoro Seis or Sapachas or Baheres. Namely, the transgression is only surface. The Aveira doesn't come about except what the Gemara says in Saita, Ein Adam Chayte, Elke Nichnasabo Ruach Shtus. Some Ruach Shtus got a hold of him, and that's what compelled him to do the Aveira. So now I'm reminding myself that he developed this idea further, and he analyzed the Medrash in the Pasuk in Acharemos, where the Torah says, "V'nasa ha'sa'ir alav es kol avonosam el eretz zera v'shilachas ha'sa'ir b'amidbar." That's the Sa'ir la'azazel, which carries all of our averos to some uninhabited land. And there's a Medrash that the Rav quoted. My Rebbe, another Rebbe of mine, Agoyin Atzidol Kantashkut Hatzal, the Talmud of Agoyin Asolvechik, Maran Arav, also is to quote this Medrash as well. The Nasa Asori Olam Zeisam, the one who's going to carry upon itself, that's Esav Shenemar, Hein Esav Ochir Ish Soir. Esav is called, that's the term, he lives the Eretz Seir, and he's called Ish Soir, a hairy man. And then it says, it's called Avonosam, what is he carrying? Avonostam. It's a hybrid of two words, Avonos Tam, Shenema V'Yakov Yishtam, Yoshev Olim. He's carrying the Averos of Yaakov Yishtam. So how do we understand that Pasuk, namely, Avonosam, Kol Avonos Tam? If it refers to someone who is Moli Avonos, where's the Tmimus? How can you call it Avonos Tam? It's almost a, in some respects, one can say we have a eternal contradiction to a certain extent. How can these two opposing terms be paired in this description? How do they put together in this hybrid kind of situation? And not only that, in Yom Kippur, we know it says, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem b'tayir eschem b'kol chatoseichem, lefnei Hashem. And the term which is very difficult to translate, and the Rishonim have a field day with this term, namely, yechaper aleichem. What does that term mean? It's found actually in different permutations. First in Shas, and also in Tanakh. And the example of the Absalvechik is the site by Rabbi Avtan Tapsky, also is the site, if you recall, in reference to Yaakov Avinu, Ki Omar Achabro Fanov, Ba Mincho HaOlecha Sefanov, V'Yachar Echein Erev Fanov, V'la Yisof Fanov. Famous passage. What does that mean? That term, the Shoresh, Chof Pei Resh. So, it's a very well-known Rishonim, actually, the one actually who discusses this specifically, you have to look over there on the spot, because they're the one who always deals with all these issues. It's not a classic Rishonim, we're always talking about these things, but Rashi on the spot is also, Rashi is very always concerned about language. So Rashi says that, I don't have his exact question in front of me, but Rashi knows that any kapara that's found by Ovon and Chet refers to, Rashi says, L'shom kinuach ma'avara. What do you mean, L'shom kinuach ma'avara? We know the word kinuach. A kinuach suda, Maran gets mevarchim. But it means that referring to wiping away or removal. L'chaper means to remove, to wipe away. L'kaneach also means the same thing. And as essentially, so the Rav, now going back to what we said a moment ago, our salvation contended that essentially that's what a Jew is. A Jew, in my very essence, always wants to fulfill mitzvahs, despite the fact that from time to time we falter, and from time to time we stumble. But at the very moment, even when I'm committing, a Jew remains in some way a tam. The Rav also said this pshat the Gemara, Yisrael lach bishachato Yisrael hu. Okay, that's in a halachic context. He still does not lose his kedushas Yisrael, despite the fact he may be wallowing in chatoi. He remains. It's interesting that the Rav Salishan thought this is the base of the Rambam in the beginning of Parachelet. The Rambam has a very striking, I would say, incredibly revolutionary, radical interpretation of the first Mishnah in Chelet. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelet Olam Haba. The Pshuto Shel Mishnah Zos is not to be in any way interpreted in any other way other than every Jew has a Chelet Olam Haba. That's not what the Rambam says. Kedargo. The Rambam says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelet. Kol Mishnah Mechuna B'Shem Yisrael. Whoever is termed in Israel. Why is he termed in Israel? Because he subscribes to Yugim Ligrim, the ones that I formulated. Ram formulated Yugim Ligrim, which became actually a lodestar. So in our Ashkafa, even though there are other Rishayim, Acholik of the Ramam, Jason Alba, many other Rishayim, Acholik of the Ramam. If you study Yugim Ligrim carefully, you'll see this is a fascinating study in and of itself. But the Ram understands that you can be a Jew who is Rahman with son while you're in transgression, but if you subscribe to Yugim Ligrim, Yeshua Machel, Ramam. So Yisrael, Bishachot, Yisrael, that could be a marker for that Mishnah in Sanhedrin as well. That needs to be, that needs explication. A lot of it, not even the point I'm trying to make, is that sin does not emanate from my inner personality. Sin is external to a Jew. Sin is a product of all kinds of environmental influences. I mentioned the Gemara and Seita. Often the cultural ambience of the non-Jewish world around me has an impact, as the Rambam writes in those days. People are very mushpa from their environment. The most significant element in young people's lives, and even in the lives of adults, but young people to a much larger extent, is called peer pressure. As they said, Raman Flaw, Ramdul's Deus, has a whole chapter devoted to that. And that's why you have to have Pnele Chachaber, you have to have the right Chaberim, and you have the right people. And then hopefully you'll, shall we say, by force of the environment you're in, you'll be moved in the right direction. So therefore, Avera is not inherent, it's not embedded, it's not internal. It's compared to a particle of dirt that lodges in your skin or your garment. Probably no get to even the halachic shaylan Shabbos, namely the issue of libun. So what's the definition of libun? You get a speck of dust on your sweater, a speck of dust on your jacket. You can, of course, take the speck of dust and do away with it. Mashenki, if it's embedded, then already have the issue of libun al pi halacha. So again, the same idea. What is required? Kapara. Kapara means just wiping away, removing it, because it's something which is superficial, something which is external, something which is not embedded or inherent in the person himself, and maybe it can be done without difficulty. And that's the source of our perpetual ability to do tshuva, as well as the foundation of karbanos that's found over here in this expansion by Yikra. Deep down, a Jew wants to carry out the Rasa Hashem. And therefore, Avera is not rooted in my neshama and my nefesh, but simply it's a response to all kinds of external stimuli. And therefore, since my desire to do the Rasa Hashem is stronger than any other impulse within me, it generates a permanent ability to overcome the Sahara and the Mela returned wholeheartedly to Hashem. And now this idea I just want to show you has relevance in other areas. I didn't Xerox all the areas, but more or less the best thing you saw you here is a famous Gemara at the end of the third parak of Nida. The most famous Gemara, all of us learn this Gemara, of Vlad is found in Me'imam. Vlad actually a child in utero, in the womb of its mother. So the Gemara says, Mulam de Masar Kalatorku. You teach him the entire Torah, and once he comes, comes the Malach and the claim that's the cleft over here, and the Malach comes, and therefore, as a result of that, Mishakho Kalatorku. He forgets the entire Torah that he learned in utero in his mother's womb. So, of course, the obvious question is, that seems to be a rather cruel kind of thing to do. Here he learns Kol HaTorah Kula, and then the Malach comes and strikes him. U'mishachlo Kol HaTorah Kula. Why would I do something like that? That seems to be very cruel. What's the intention here? What's the idea that lies behind this idea? So I'll let you explain, though, Chas V'Shalom, there's no Azorius, that even if he doesn't compel him to forget Kol HaTorah Kula, he's going to forget anyway. Why? Because the whole learning that he did was not a function, essentially, of Yigia, of Amalo Shel Torah. It wasn't a function of exertion. There was no effort that he expended, no energy that was invested in terms of the acquisition of learning. Any Torah, She Adam Lo Mityagia Ba, HaTorah Hazot, Alula Lishokach. That's going to be forgotten. No question about it. Adrama, the Malach did a chesed. The Malach did a tremendous taiva with this team, though. He did him a massive favor. Absolutely, told over. I was lucky to hear this actually twice on two occasions. That in his childhood, he had a Malamid, was a Chabadnik. Rabbi Menachem Kasdan, who happens to be a psychologist, I don't know if you know him, Dr. Bless. I'm not sure, Dr. Pinchuk, you probably know this fellow. He's older than both of you, Sheila, you're a young man. So, Dr. Menachem Kasdan, who's a psychologist from Shalayim, he went to Russia, I think in the 70s, he told me. He was having himself a sperm, this fellow. He moved to Israel, hear this, in order to be able to learn more effectively. So, he learns the whole morning. And then in the afternoon, toward the evening, he more or less practices psychology. So he's becoming a three swarm. He's giving me all three of them. Excellent swarm. There's a tremendous baltishri. So he told me that he met the Chabad Rebbe in the 70s who taught Rav Soloveitchik. And this Chabad Rebbe, the Rav said over, I heard this in Boston, that he used to learn Tanya instead of learning Bar Mitzvah. They're supposed to learn Bar Mitzvah. They were 6, 7 years old. And it said they had the Tanya under the Bar Mitzvah, and when the Fakir was not there, they took out the Tanya. And then one day, apparently, his mother tested him on Bar Mitzvah, his mother, and she found to be an Amoris. Didn't know anything. He was quoting slaves of Tanya by heart, and he was taken out of the Cheder. And then his father tutored him for the next 14, 15 years till he went to Berlin. And that's more or less the story of Rav Soloveitchik. He said over that he. This Chabad Rebbe taught that Gemara. That Gemara actually is, of course, as you know, the beginning of the Sefer Tanya. Mamish, the opening salvo of Sefer Tanya is this Gemara at the end of the third parak of Nida, which tells you how the Malach comes and teaches you Kol HaTorah Kula, and then you forget it. And the Gemara says over there, even if the world tells you, Kol HaOlam Omer, Tzadik Atah, you're a Tzadik and not a Rasha, don't believe them. And so Rav Soloveitchik said over that his father was the Rav of Chassid, which is a white Russian, that city, which is Lubavitch Shtot, and his father was the Rav, and he learned Tanya with this Chabad Malamed. So he said the Russian that left on him was mind-boggling. Namely, the notion that somehow a child learns Kol HaTorah Kula in the womb of his mother, in utero, and then the Shachal, then the Malach hits him, and then compels him to forget all that which he learned. So Rav Soloveitchik said, that's a good thing, as I mentioned a moment ago. Why? Because it leads a person to now engage in the Gia Bavala to reconstruct and recover. So why is that so significant? And the answer is Rishumo Nikar. That's a din, that's a halacha in Sholach. Rishumo Nikar by Sefer Torah, the Sons of Halachas, and elsewhere. Let's say you have a Sefer Torah where the parchment is beginning to fei. But if you're shumanika, the letters are still more or less recognizable, so then you can be mashir. That's every turn. Then completely disappear. So I'm just saying here also, the revach that a person has by learning from this balach prior to being born in the mother's womb in utero, in effect, and even though Meshach Kula, the revach is that Rishumanika. And the Rebbe went on to describe, I think in the Tanya and Perek Tezvah, that's where he has this next discussion. So Perek Tezvah of Tanya, yeah, I told you that when I was in Itri, in 71, 72, on Motzei Shabbos, I left at 12 o'clock at night. Rosh Hashiva was not happy with people who went to learn, especially in Chabad circles, literature yeshiva. So I leave at 12 o'clock at night, and I went to Rechob Balatanya and Meisharim. And there, we studied the entire night Sefer Tanya. In the morning, we dined with Masikin. And I mentioned we had a breakfast of champions, hard-boiled eggs, and mashke, and whiskey. Usually it was vodka. That was the breakfast that we had, the breakfast of champions. So this, the Baal Tanya Perek Tesvav, speaks about what he calls Abba Misuteres HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam, this is the Rambam I just quoted here, Perek Basil's Gershon, bottom of this page. The Rambam from Perek Hes Sabbatim explains, and he give a get Baal Korcho. So the Rambam answers, no, that a Jew basically deep, deep down in the recesses of his soul wants to carry out the Ratzon Hashem, wants to be Mekayim Mitzvos, but he has a kind of, what should we put it, a pseudo personality that he takes on. And that pseudo personality doesn't permit him. And now when they apply some heat, and then he says, Reitza Ani, so that Reitza Ani is his Ani Amite. That's his real persona. That is emerging. That's the Rota Rudel Moshul that I mentioned. And that's where the real person stands up, and that's where the real person comes to the fore. Thus, this Ratzon HaPnimi is Tamun Belev Kol Yehudi V'Yehudi. It's deeply ensconced and embedded in the heart and in the mindset of every single Jew. And that's exactly comes from this Malach who taught me Kol HaTorah Kula while still in Be'imo. A Raisa V'Kutchebrichu Chadu. This says in the Zoya, that he v'chachmasu echad. So in effect, what is this Torah that I learned? What is it? In effect, it's a combination of hasagas elokus, and every neshama, every Jewish neshama wants to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, this also fits another Rambam, the famous Rambam of Tshuva that our Soloveitchik to speak about in the Roshes HaTshuva that he gave in Kesel Osa, in our series of Tshuva. The Rambam writes over there, very based on the Tshuva, the Gemara is a machlokes tanoim about this, but the Rambam says that Kvarimticho Yisrael Shesoifu Lasso Tshuva is Avtocha. That Klal Yisrael is going to do Tshuva, the Rambam, because Sukkim, the Rambam is very difficult. How could there be such a Avtocha? Together, Bechira Chavshis. Bechira Chavshis means that I'm the one who makes the decision whether I'm going to do Tshuva or not. I have free will. And the Rambam has several prokim about Bechira Chavshis smack in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva. Because Tshuva without Bechira Chavshis, there's no possibility of Tshuva. The whole concept is meaningless. So what does the Rambam mean? That that's against this principle of Bechira Chavshis. And let's say we decide not to do Tshuva. Let's say we decide Chas V'Shalom to go in another direction, in the wrong direction. So what's the Rambam saying? How's it possible that Avtocha will be Mekuyam? So the answer, of course, is since this is the Ratzon HaPnimi, HaTomu B'Lev Kol Echad Le'Echad, this is the inner will that is deeply, deeply rooted, ensconced in my very psyche, Kolzman Shein Chotim. So basically, what are we doing? We're doing something against our Teva. It's against our nature. It's not natural. It's totally unnatural. The natural predisposition and the natural tendency is to be an Eved Hashem. Everyone has Bechira Chavshis. And therefore, we're going to simply go back to our to our roots. That's exactly what we should be doing. It's interesting that you see, actually, there's a, you well know that the Gemara says in Saita, and after you doubt it, the Gemara says, Mahu Abata. Malachta Bidrocha, which is quoted by Rishonim. The Holmes of Rishonim and Rabbi Rabban had a tight ship. But certainly there's no question that the Malach will teach us, that the mitzvah of the Damos, the mitzvah of the either Malachta Bidrocha refers to following the derech of the Hashem is Barach, that's the way many Rishonim learn. Others say, no, following the derech of Tamil Chachamim. Also, Malachta Bidrocha, also a mitzvah like that. But essentially, the idea is that we're not doing something which is foreign to us. On the contrary, it's already embedded, deeply rooted in us, namely this kurva to Hashem Yisbarach. It's interesting that the pasuk says in Tehillim, Tehillim Membeis Ki ayo ta'arog alafike mayim Kei nafshi ta'arog elecha elokim. What a pasuk. Mind-boggling pasuk. Mentioned my father was showing us to say Tehillim every week. The entire Sefer Tehillim. Years and years and years. He tried to get us to do it, not too successfully. But Ka'ayot Arog, as a deer longs for a brook of water, so too my soul panteth. So my father's translated pasuk. Panteth, longs for Hashem Yisbarach. And just as a deer is instinctively drawn towards water without comprehending where exactly he's going, so too a Jew yearns to be close to Hashem. Not necessarily do we understand always what we're searching for, but that's an inner yearning that a Jew possesses, that a Jew has, to be close to Hashem, and even secular Jews. I want to give you a mashal about Dovah Doimah. And when I learned in Yitzhak many, many years ago, over about half a century, 50 years ago, so I used to walk to Yerushalayim very often. Walk that Friday night to hear the Maggid, Rav Shlomo Shadman. One week he spoke in Yiddish, and one week he spoke in a more modern shul in Hebrew, Shana Kodesh. Every Friday night we walked, all group of us, to hear the Maggid. Then we walked back. It's approximately an hour and a half walk from Talpiot, the heart of Talpiot today, Beit Tzvafa, with the Yeshiva was, all the way into Meir Shem area. If you can do it faster, probably capital, quicker than I am. But anyway, that was the day. And that Shabbos, probably used to walk in as well. The year, we went off into Shalom Shulis by an Adam Gadol from, was also a Rebbe in the Yeshiva, Kalin, stolen a Kalin Chosid, Rabbi Yossel Tzemer, at the side of the Brachim. Only Rabbi Brad knows him. As a Brad knows Rabbi Yossel Tzemer, at Sadiq and Malach Hashem Tzvokis. He was a Shalom Nation in the Yeshiva. He knew every taste in Shas by heart. The whole Babli was in one pocket, and Yerushalmi was in the other pocket. And Shavuot, somehow, the pocket's over here. So we used to go to him. And I remember when we used to walk in Yerushalayim on Shabbos towards as the Shabbos ebbs away, towards Shkia, quiet, the streets of Yerushalayim. Wow. Unbelievable quiet, like an eerie silence that we used to see. The Kedush of Yerushalayim was clearly clearly felt in Shabbos Kedesh, the Kedusha of Shabbos, Matzoi Shabbos, after Maariv, after we came, sometimes we stayed with Malka. Wow, I didn't recognize what was happening. The streets of Yerushalayim were flooded, inundated. Where were people running to? The Edison Theater, famous movie theater with the briskets and briskog and what have you, and running for all kinds of entertainment and obviously food items. I said to myself, how do you contrast the Shabbos afternoon scene that was mole the Godish Kedusha within Motzei Shabbos that left a lot to be desired? And the answer is, the greater the Kedusha, the greater the Tumah. And you say, God, at the end of the day, the Kedusha will prevail. By the way, Kach, Mizmaning Ono, what we're seeing right now, trying to be as polite as I can, all the provocateurs who are at work, no shortage of them, they lost the battle. Oh boy, they didn't lose it. They're fighting. It's Custer's last stand. They're fighting for the last gasps. And Kedusha will ultimately overwhelm them. Halavai, they should be Makurov. Anyway, so even a secular Jew who despises Kedusha, at the end of the day, in the depths of his heart, he longs for something. And that longing is for closest to Hashem Yisbarach. There is no other Kurva. And they don't want to admit it. That's why they react to anger with all manners of religion. It's a psychological ploy, if you will. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or anything. And this is the reason it could very well also be. I think I'll let you want to suggest that what today, there's so many problems relating to mental health. I don't know. I grew up in an era where there were maybe there were some cognitive difficulties with some of my classmates, maybe. But not every other son, a child, a daughter was on Ritalin as the situation is today. Maybe you'll explain all this to me, all the outstanding psychiatrists in front of me. ADHD, I don't know why. There's no end to all the different mental illnesses. And so Why is that so? The answer is, the Rav suggested, that the love for Hashem, which is really concealed within every Jew, draws him to a life of Torah mitzvahs. Now, the problem is, he's not acting according to his inner feelings. He's quite distant from that. And you know what that creates? Enormous angst and anxiety. It's not Soleshik's theory. Now, it's a fascinating theory. Yesh makom l'dun b'zeh. I'm just sharing it with you if you don't mind. Anyway, the person is plagued by a lack of tranquility. He has no menuchas nefesh. He has no peace of mind, etc., etc. He has to go and march on Bnei Brak. What in heaven's name does Bnei Brak got to do with this issue of judicial reform? Any musab? I don't have a clue. The answer is he has to go ahead and attack the people that perhaps he feels deep down in his heart. Maybe they might even be right. I'm just giving my own, if you will, pashanut to this whole matter. So more than avodas Hashem being an obligation, it's a necessity for him. And that is really, that's exactly what the Rambam I quoted a moment ago, that we cry, Ticha Torah, Shesof Yisrael, Shesof Yisrael, Lassus Tshuva. So the question is, I asked, what happened to Bechira Chavshis? Are the Jewish people not free to choose evil rather than good? And the answer, of course, is that innately, a Jew does not want to sin. He does want to do an Avera. And even all those Jews, I maintain, they'll get there. It's going to take a bit of time. But essentially, they are fighting something that they can't really fight. Because they realize, and I'm even, without getting this psychological analysis, I say to myself, what do they have? This is what I always tell young men in my yeshiva. They ask me, existence of the proof of God. So I've told you in the past one proof, which is to be ironclad, the fact that Donald Trump was elected president of the United States. That's the greatest proof of the existence of God that could possibly be. How in any rational, sentient kind of way could we possibly elect such a president? He fits all the discussions of the Gemara Chagiga with Abchaim Briska, with all the different definitions of a certain type of personality. And the other proof, of course, lies in the fact that we have such a vehemence against the free world. That itself, on the contrary, that's a sign of Hashem's Baruch is operating. Anyway, any avera that's committed by any Jew runs contrary to the true nature. It's aberration. It's a complete, total, I'm not even sure, I call it a recessive gene. And therefore, the natural course of events is that eventually we're all going to return to our true nature. That's what the Rambam says, Kfar Ticho, Yisrael, says the Rambam, Shesoyfim Lassos Tshuva, Rambam called Sukkim, Bachus Ayomim, many Sukkim Tanakh really support this idea. And all this emanates from the beginning of Ayikra, Ish Ki Yakub Mikem, Korbel Hashem, Mikem! It's something which is inherent, which is basic, fundamental. Halavai, Shibim Kudim, Yamein Yom. Shukrach.